Good morning. I guess you can hear me. Wow, this is a great room. So I'm Beatrice Solis, and I'm with the California Endowment. I've been with the Endowment now 7.5 years. And when I came to the Endowment, I really came to help as part of a team to help build the scaffolding around building healthy communities, which is a 10-year place-based initiative. We're now in our fourth year of implementation, and essentially it's focusing on 14 communities in California. So I guess I should start off by saying that I have no disclosables and learning objectives that I think you're all familiar with. So going into our place-based initiative, so we're focusing on 14 communities across California, low-income communities of high need, but also communities of great opportunity. And I'm sure as you've heard over and over again here at APHA that where you live matters, and it matters a lot in terms of opportunity structures and health. So as we went down this path of looking at the scaffolding of building healthy communities, as you can imagine, as a health foundation and public health practitioners, there's oodles and oodles of data. But sometimes and I'll own this, sometimes as public health practitioners, we're not as conversant in terms of communicating ideas to a broader audience that can really be understood. So we realized through this work that it was really important to talk about place in a way that others could quickly understand. So working with communications gurus, et cetera, really set us up to look at the disparity of educational outcomes, of life expectancy, by just juxtaposing zip codes. We also invested in the Human Development Index. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that index. And what we did is we funded them to look at each of our building healthy community sites so that not only was the site, and there's approximately between 90 to 150,000 people that live in a building healthy community zone, so much larger than many small cities across the country. So we're talking about significant numbers of people. So we use the Human Development Index, again, as a way to sort of describe a level of difference. So if you look at the Eastern Coachella Valley, which happens to be a rural community, you begin to see a pattern of life expectancy difference of 1 year. Again, that could be part of the Latino health paradox, because it's a high farm worker, high immigrant community. But when you look at less than high school, the numbers start popping up. So over 57% less than high school. If you look at diploma rates, 42%, bachelor's degree, 4% versus 30 in terms of California. So again, you begin to see patterns emerge. So part of our theory of change is, and I won't spend a lot of time on this because I think most of you are familiar with it, but when we think about the traditional medical model, emergency rooms, clinics, health education, and so part of what's built into the building healthy communities DNA, so to speak, is how do we think about neglected communities, policies and practices, beliefs and isms. So that means for us in a pragmatic way, how do you begin to build power in place? How do you sharpen and focus on policy, advocacy, and systems change? And how do you also begin to look at changing the narrative? And again, what I'll say is that communication is so incredibly important. And I would say that even more than anything else that I've learned in the past number of years is how to create a deeper understanding of how we communicate issues in public health to a broader audience. But also in addition to that, how sometimes communication can also be an enemy, and communications we can also sort of further disenfranchise communities with certain messaging. So again, a larger level of sophistication around communication. So we see our work as inclusion, always thinking about sustainability, a health and all policies approach, and resilient and transformed communities. So these are the drivers of change that we see through our work. We have these drivers of change: people power, youth leadership development and organizing, collaboration, policy innovation, leveraging partnerships, resources, and changing the narrative. Essentially, if you optimize these five drivers in place, we believe that you're talking about a transformed place. And again, many of these tools are probably tools that you're familiar with in terms of public health. It's no big idea around collaboration, no big idea about partnerships, communication. However, what we feel is very different in our initiative are the first two. Going deep on adult residents and providing venues for leadership development and advocacy, and youth development and advocacy as well, sort of creating a venue and space for young people to have a voice at the table. So I'm going to skip through a series of slides and not go deep down in all, but essentially at the end of the day, so as I mentioned, we're 4 years in our Building Healthy Communities work, and so by 2020, we're already talking about what do we want to see in 2020, and what can we do as a foundation to ensure that by 2020 that there is a robust community that's able to defend, sustain, and deal with new issues that crop up. So it's really forced us to think about what does that mean in terms of what we talk about, people power. And essentially what it means, if any of you can imagine, and I'm sure in your community, your planning department probably has a charrette every year to do community planning on particular investments. And sometimes planning departments can do them exceptionally well. They have a community organizer on staff. They're really engaged and involved with community, are doing great process in terms of bringing multiple voices to the table. That's what we want to see in all communities. But that they're working with community organizations on the ground to effectuate and ensure that that voice is there. When we think about youth development and leadership, again, when we think of a young person, you know, as I said, we're 4 years in. We've already seen that kids that come in as a ninth grader, and we're sort of following them through when they graduate from high school. If I were to begin to tell you the narrative of that kid in ninth grade that had already touched the juvenile justice systems multiple times, has been what we consider sort of pushed out of school, that that young kid had multiple issues at home and in the community, is now on a pathway for opportunity, for going to community college and getting a job. So these transformations can happen in a very short period of time, especially when we see with young people sort of capturing their voice. And at the same time, I have to say, and I'm sure many of you have witnessed this, that when you go to, let's say, your local state capital, and you know, if you're going as a researcher or as a community-based organization, you get so far. But when you come in with a young person, and a young person of color that has voice, that has residence, that's able, an agency to sort of speak from their voice and how important a policy change is, it changes the whole dynamic. It just changes the dynamic. And these young people are just quite amazing in doing this over and over again. Enhanced collaboration. Again, a no-brainer, but really, really hard to do, especially when you have systems that sometimes don't talk to each other, or systems within a department that are not necessarily collaborating together. And then when you bring in community residents and young people, also very challenging. One, you have distrust, you have historical legacy issues that might be and come into play. So one cannot underestimate the amount of time that it takes for collaborations to sort of develop and shift over time. Leveraging partnerships and resources. We have a deep relationship with several of our Building Healthy Community sites in the Federal Reserve. And I'm sure many of you have kept up on the Federal Reserve in terms of their broader thinking on community development and really learning from the lessons that they're sharing around how you can go terribly wrong and what can happen when you have a certain set of conditions that can go right for community. So really taking in and being open with other partners to really learn about how do we leverage these opportunities. So for example, in Eastern Coachella Valley, it's a community where there's a high number of mobile home housing, high farm worker population, water is not safe due to natural occurring arsenic, you have open septic areas that are not treated. So very much similar to any developing nation. And so the work there with the Federal Reserve is really to look at infrastructure, basic infrastructure that needs to be built for community health. And there is a wide engagement of young people moving through to help make that happen. So I am running out of time, so I'm already going to zoom a little bit quicker through this. So essentially, when we think about our investment across each of the 14 sites, we see that there is what we call a hub collaborative. And TCE, we fund this collaborative quite robustly across the 14 places. It's not the only thing we fund. We also fund the strategies and tactics. But we think essentially you need to bring everyone together. Now, this looks very different in each of the 14 communities. Very different, because we felt that it was important that each community should define how they want to collaborate and how they want to learn together, how they want to change the narrative, and how they want to community build. But we say, you know, these are sort of the essential ingredients, so to speak. Again, very generative, very dynamic in space. So in the planning process, there were over 20,000 people that participated in the planning process across California. And this is the diagram that came from our Santa Ana group. This was a community rendition of how they talked about the systems tree. And it was easy to ensure that people in the community that were English speaking, Spanish speaking, Thai speaking, could also understand sort of what did this mean in terms of building healthy communities. Again, this was not driven by us, but definitely from the community. There's oodles of data on the importance of connecting youth. A recent study that came out from Measure America, so I highly recommend you look at it, and again, looking at how important of a driver it is to connect young people to advocacy. And so part of what we're seeing in building healthy communities is this real push on youth building. So in City Heights in San Diego, the young people decided, we want a skate park. And so we provided technical assistance support from the Tony Hawk Foundation. They're a nonprofit that really works at grassroots development. And essentially what they do with young people is they go on skateboards and they find skateboarders and they bring them to the table and say, okay, what do we want to do? How do we want to work together? It takes time to build capacity, understanding, and sort of a policy focus. But at the end of the day, what they were able to do was they won over $600,000 to $800,000 to build a massive skate park. The kids moved on to another campaign, which is to provide bus passes for all kids in City Heights, because they knew that kids were getting to school late because the busing system was not getting them to school on time. So there are multiple stories that have come out of this. So they, and I don't know if you know anything about San Diego, but they went through two mayors. Very controversial, political, tumultuous period that they were working through. And so the young people held a candidates forum to be able to ensure that there was accountability across these changes. In Boyle Heights, a big movement around the truancy issue, they work with the mayor, they work with the chief of police and the local council person to ensure that young people had a voice in terms of really stopping the school-to-prison pipeline through policies and practices. So the young people conducted community participatory research, but from their view, they call it ground truthing. So it's really adding data and information that helps them make the case for change. And so they were able to get a number of wins through that. They got a moratorium on truancy tickets and a deeper conversation with law enforcement to effectuate change. In City Heights, as I mentioned, there was a candidate forum. They brought out over 300 residents, which was quite amazing. Adult power building in the built environment. In Santa Ana, another example was the need for transparency and local decision-making. They focused on the built environment as a critical area that they wanted to focus on in terms of policy and systems change. It's a park-poor area. And so they felt that one way of obtaining more parks in their place and more affordable housing, well, they had to have a better understanding of how decisions were made around city contracting and developers. So they asked for a sunshine ordinance, which essentially meant that there had to be transparency in government, and they got it. And from there on, it really opened up a dialogue for understanding, how funding was flowing. In Long Beach, there's a high concentration of Cambodians as well as Latinos, and access to healthcare, access to interpreters are very challenging. It's very difficult. And so they decided that they wanted to focus on inclusion. How do we ensure that immigrants have interpreters and translators available to them? So they were able to pass a local ordinance in the city to ensure that all immigrants had access to language access. And I'm out of time, but I'm just going to quickly go through the last one. This one is a really interesting dive in terms of community building. It's reclaiming neighborhoods. And again, it's a term that communities use, not necessarily public health or wonky folks sometimes use, but essentially the movement here was to, and I'll tell you what the win is, because that's the important part. What they wanted was $20 million in affordable housing. They received a 30% mandate in project labor agreements. They're going to have a new clinic that's going to open next month. And they put a face on displacement and gentrification as a health issue. So essentially what was happening is this community that was adjacent to the University of Southern California, they were feeling the pressures of displacement because the university was building more student housing. So as a result, low-income, affordable housing was being destroyed or repurposed or sold. And so community was saying, we need to ensure that we stay here because we're part of the vibrant community. We work in this community. We have our safety nets in the community. And this is what they want through this collaborative. Lastly, in terms of leveraging resources in Del Norte, up in the northern part of California, where you have the Yurok tribe, major movements in terms of ensuring that the school boards were actually putting funds to help support young people in terms of restorative justice and school climate issues. Again, this was like the first time, unprecedented in this community, where you had over 135 people that came out to speak, even school board members being really surprised that they had that many people come out to talk about how school funding could influence restorative justice and improve outcomes for young people. And again, changing the narrative, highly recommend you go to Departures KCET website. We've created this venue for folks to, across the Building Healthy Community sites, to sort of share their stories, share their wins from their perspective. Demand the plan, which was the Bloomberg plan a couple of years back after Sandy shooting. And again, young people sort of talking about how violence occurs in their neighborhoods every day and how there needs to be a better understanding and push for youth voice and change. So I'm going to leave you with just Cornel West with his quote, because I think that's the most important one. Health equity is what love looks like in public. And I think at the end of the day, we're talking about the heart. We're talking about investing in human beings and not disposing of the human capital, but taking the time to invest in young people and families and communities. Thank you.